We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, it is. Good evening to you and how you be. At 7:05 and 55 seconds to go right along with it on a Wednesday evening on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers Sr., you there. Peter Hoffman. David Ettinger, there on the other side of the partition, 1-877-337-6666. And that'll be the number for another 3 hour schmooze of the SBORTS until JR at 10 on your fan, New York City. And right now, our New York Jets report with Brian Costello. And Brian, the Brian Costello report sponsored by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services, by Van Buren Buick, GMC in Garden City Park, family owned and operated since 1935, by CSEA Local 830, we work for you, and by Play Sugar House. Legal sports betting is here. Check it out at LegalSugarHouse.com. where they give you the $250, well, any $250 deposit will match, they will match on your first deposit. Brian, how are you?
Good, Schmoozer. It's been too long.
It has been too long, but now that you're all wrapped up by the Joe and the Evan, on Tuesday I hear you then with the Jets report, and it's usually negative. Why are you so negative?
There hasn't been much to be positive about in a long time with the Jets, Steve, right? I mean, let's say I haven't seen a playoff game in a long, long time.
Brian, when you heard the news today about Sam Darnold, were you surprised?
Yep. Yes, I was surprised. We walked out in the practice field, and there he was with a boot on his foot. You know, he had said after the game that he was dinged. Someone asked him, you know, he took a pretty good beating Sunday. And he said he was dinged up, and then Monday he kind of said, you know, I'll be fine, just some bumps and bruises. So I thought he was all right after that. And then, it was surprising to see him out there just in street clothes and a walking boot today.
Do you think he's really hurt?
I do think he's really hurt. I'm sure there's going to be conspiracy theories that the Jets are doing this to rest him, and I'm sure your callers have come up with that. I've gotten some of that on Twitter, but he's really hurt. The Jets wouldn't come up with a fake injury to just, if they wanted to sit him down, they could just sit him down. What would they be afraid of to do that?
Well, it could be because it was a surprise to all of us, but you're there. So we'll take you out. See, my thinking right away, I was skeptical, and the doubting Thomas that I am, because I don't always trust what I hear from Oregon. And we're all been conditioned to look below the surface for another meeting or if somebody has an agenda.
Right.
And my thinking right away was this was something, that would, give him a break, give him a, because of the four sacks, the four interceptions, it was so bad for him that maybe that the organization, instead of saying we want to bench him for a week, we want him to catch his breath for a week, he's got this little bit of a sprain with the right foot, and we'll sit him down. In other words, I didn't think that the organization was being honest.
Yeah, I can't see that. I mean, he would know they were lying, you know, so I don't know how that would benefit him. Sorry, Steve, choking a little bit here.
That's okay. Take your time.
But, you know, it's not like baseball where they might come up with a fake injury to get a guy in the 15-day DL to create a roster spot.
Mm-hmm.
He's still taking a roster spot. So who would this benefit, really, by them creating an injury? It doesn't make any sense to me.
From what do you know of this sprain, could he have played by this Sunday? Could he, in other words, would this injury be serious enough to keep him from playing, or is it the kind of injury that, say, for the sake of conversation, if this was a big game and they needed this win for getting into the postseason and Sam was polished, would he have been able to play with what you know of the severity regarding the sprain with the right foot?
Yeah, I think he wouldn't be able to play under any circumstance this week. You know, I think a foot sprain, you know, it's tough to deal with. My wife actually had a foot sprain last year, so I went to this personally. It's a tough injury to overcome. Now, he has 24-hour care from the Jets and the best doctors going, so he should be able to recover in time. But I don't think there's any way you can play with a foot sprain 1 week out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my understanding is they don't think it's going to be a long-term injury, but once the bye week is over, they'll reevaluate it, and we'll see if he can go against the Patriots. But I don't think, you know, right now they're playing coy that he could play Sunday, but I can't see him playing Sunday against the Bills, Steve.
Yeah, all right. So Josh McCown will start in that game.
Yep.
And all right, so we'll go with that. What took Todd Bowles so long to pull Spencer Long?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it was pretty obvious. The guy was struggling. He's been having a tough time in recent weeks. This wasn't a new thing. And, you know, snap after snap after snap, and Todd really said he didn't pull him until Spencer said something was wrong. He re-injured the finger. So he waited till the player really said something. So, or until they saw there was something wrong with the finger again, he re-injured it. But I don't know what took to be. There's really no defense for that. He really screwed up by not taking him out earlier, and it definitely affected the offense. You could see it affecting Sam Darnold on these bad snaps.
Well, there were so many bad snaps. I mean, even the announcers on television, Brian, were talking about what is taking Bowles so long. You would think after all the bad, and how many bad snaps were there? Five, six?
It was at least six. I counted, you know, if depending on your definition, you could go a little bit higher. I think if there was some that were not directly on target.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that Bowles, who's standing right there on the sidelines, or anyone else, the offensive line coach, anybody, the ball boy, anybody could see there was something wrong with him snapping the football, and yet Bowles wouldn't take him out until Long said something.
Yeah, it was very strange, you know, and I don't understand how he didn't see it. Like you said, you could see it watching the game, and maybe on the sideline, you know, the sideline view is a little different than what we see on TV or for us in the press box, but there are coaches who are upstairs at the same level as the press box who could obviously see it, because I saw it. You know, I tweeted about it during the game. You got to bench this guy right now. And, you know, the weird thing was the week before he didn't play against Chicago, and Jonathan Harrison, the backup center, played, and I thought he did fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there would be any hesitation in that regard to go with it. And, you know, this week, he didn't practice today, Spencer, so I think the smart course of action is to let him sit this game out. Then you get the bye week, and then you see how the finger is, you know, after the bye week. I don't see why you would play him this week. Just give him some time to heal up, and maybe he'll get better. And then you have to worry about, is it the finger, or is now it's going to be in his head? Because clearly, mid bone too. And, you know, golfers get the yips. We saw, you know, Mackie Sasser years ago, that kind of thing. This could be a situation where this becomes mental for Spencer Long, and he has trouble snapping the ball.
Another thing that you could possibly put on Bowles, you know, the snaps are bad. They're all over the place. You would think maybe you would have Darnold get out of the shotgun formation and go under center.
That's a little trickier, to be honest, in my view, because, you know, they practice all week, you know, in the shotgun. Like, that's their offense. And if you look around the NFL, most teams play in the shotgun. They, you know, the Jets have some plays under center, but not a lot. You know, they're predominantly in the shotgun. So I think if you were going to do something like that, that would be something you'd have to really work on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, building into the game plan. Like, okay, here we're going to do this. I'm not sure you could do that on a Sunday midstream. Just go, okay, we're going to go under center now. I just don't know how that would work in terms of their offense. To, you know, but to me, the easy answer was Ben Spencer Long. You didn't have to go under center there. Just take him out of the game and replace him with Jonathan Harrison.
Sure. And another thing with Bowles, and I don't know if you've written...
So much with Bowles, Schmoozer. He called me negative. You're killing the guy.
Do you think that he's thinking what we're thinking, that if they were to lose to Buffalo, there's a possibility, maybe not a strong possibility, I'm thinking really between you and me and the lamppost, they'll finish out the season.
Yeah.
But if they were to lose to Buffalo, do you think anyone would pull the trigger on him and want him out like right now if they were to lose to Buffalo?
I don't think he's thinking like that. I don't think coaches can really think like that. You know,
is he aware that the heat is on, Brian?
I think so, but I don't think he can think like, oh my God, if I lose this game, I'm going to get fired. I just don't think that's productive for a coach to think like that. They just have to put their head down and try to win every week and, you know, see what happens. I'm sure there are times his family worries about it and that, but I just don't think coaches are wired that way to worry week to week about their job. To be honest, Steve, I don't see them firing him, even if they lose Sunday midstream here, like next week. There's not a built-in interim coach with this team. You know, like I think, you know, when Hugh Jackson got fired, Greg Williams had been a head coach in Buffalo. There was a natural person there. The only guy on the staff who's ever been a head coach that I know of at any level is Carl Durrell, who was a coach at UCLA a decade ago. There's no one else who really has that, you know, oh, he would make a natural interim coach. So I don't think it makes a lot of sense for the Jets. And they're also, you know, if they're not, they don't have a one win right now. They do have three wins. I know it would be a disaster if they lose to the Bills, but I still think the brothers Johnson would wait till the end of the season to do anything. Unless there was a college coach they really wanted, then maybe they do something in December to try to spur that, like the Texans did the year they wanted Bill O'Brien from Penn State, and they got things going early. But I don't see any other reason to do it before the end of the season.
Albert Breer, and you know from Albert Breer, and he was on the other day, he mentioned Lincoln Riley, who is the kind of college coach that might work for the New York Jets and help and educate and teach and tutor and mentor a guy like Sam Darnold. Although Lincoln Riley has said he doesn't want to go to the NFL. That could be a negotiating ploy. He's the head coach of Oklahoma, the whole thing, everyone knows. But he might be, if you were to go to the college ranks, certainly he'd be the type of coach you'd want.
Oh, he's the number one name right now. You know, there's always that guy in college that everybody wants, and I think people will realize Nick Saban's not coming back to the NFL. That's not happening. So I think Lincoln Riley's kind of the guy people are pointing to, that young offensive mind. But, you know, if he wanted to come to the NFL, would he want to go to Cleveland and work with Baker Mayfield, the guy he knows, rather than somewhere else? You know, like you said, he said he doesn't want to come to the pros. That's not always the truth from these college coaches. But, you know, there's been no indication he's coming to the NFL, and I would just wonder if he'd rather go to Cleveland to work with Baker again than anywhere else.
And, of course, Dallas may be looking for a head coach, and certainly Cleveland, and you make a good point because of with the Baker Mayfield. Yep. See, here's another thing with Bowles, and we know about, we were talking about with Spencer Long and the bad snaps. And do you recall in the first quarter last Sunday with 5:44, I believe it was, to go in the first quarter, the Jets call a timeout to avoid a delay a game penalty. Yeah. And I believe also, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, about a minute 21 into the third quarter.
Yeah.
Another timeout was called to avoid another delay a game.
Ultimately, everything's on Todd Bowles, right? He's the head coach. But on these ones, these delays of games, almost delay of games on offense, or delay of games, and then or they take timeout, that's not really on Todd. I mean, that's on either Jeremy Bates not getting the play called quick enough in the huddle, which I think happens a lot of the times, or it's on the quarterback who's not getting the play out quick enough in the huddle once he hears it in his ear, which happens with a rookie quarterback. And on at least on one of those, I can't remember which one, CBS showed Darnold came to the sideline and he was hitting his chest like, that's on me. That was my fault. So I know everything's on Todd Bowles. Ultimately, the buck stops there, but it's hard for me to really blame him for those ones.
Real quick, and then we have to go, Brian. Can't thank you enough, of course, for your time this evening. How great was it, yes or no, how great was it to hear, unfortunately, But how great was it to hear Jamal Adams? He is somebody who hates losing. Everybody else seems to accept. He hates it, and he let you know about it.
Yeah, I thought he hit a great note after the game, and it was what this team needs. And I think Jamal has made an effort since he's been here to kind of change things, change the way the Jets are, change the culture, and he's doing great things in that locker room. He wasn't the only one. Robbie Anderson, our coach, too, said some good things after the game in terms of, you know, I'm tired of rebuilding. I don't want to hear about rebuilding. I want to win games. And I think that kind of the fans must have ate that up because that's obviously how they feel, and I don't think they hear that enough from this organization.
Yes, and with a lot of teams in New York, Brian, they're developing. No winning, but they're developing. Brian, thank you so much.
All right, Smoozer. Don't wait so long to call me again.
Okay, thank you, Brian. That means a lot to me for sure. And Brian, of course, has a weekly spot every Tuesday with the Joe and Evan program, their midday show.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.